This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace through practical application. Here is your host, Reverend Jennifer Hadley.
Yes, yes, yes. Here we go again. Well, let's begin with a blessing and a prayer. I place my hand on my heart and wholeheartedly attune to that higher Holy Spirit self, that higher wisdom. So grateful to remember and recognize that this is what we are. We are that higher wisdom. That is our true identity. Our nature is the Christ. And we are grateful to give up any ideas we have about ourselves as being less than or not enough. We are grateful to surrender any idea we have that the ego has any power whatsoever. We are grateful to remember that there is one power, and that is the power in the presence of love, the presence of God, the power of God, Holy Spirit, infinite intelligence, pure wisdom. That's what we are born of, made of. That is what we're created out of. And that is what we represent. We represent the one who sent us. Oh, so grateful and thankful to claim our holiness and to share the benefits with everyone. We let this time of healing unfold. We let it be, and so it is. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, very, very good. All right, so I was reading in the course and coming upon one of the references to the devil, and I got a strong feeling this is a topic for us, A Course in Miracles and the Devil, what does it say? So I'm going to begin with what came up in the prayer. I hadn't anticipated that, but I've talked about this a gazillion times because it's so important. And that is to understand that the ego is not a being that is working against us. It is not something that has feelings, that has volition, can make decisions, or anything like that. It is a thought system. And so it's very helpful to understand that this is a thought system that enables us to have an experience in this world of separation. It enables us to feel separate, to believe that we are. It is so important to understand that the ego thought system has no power. There is just the one power, and that is the power of love, the power of God, same thing. And that power is within us. It is the power to create, among other things. And the power of God within us, when we run that ego thought system software in our mind, in our awareness, we're going to believe that we're separate. We're going to believe that something's wrong with us, that we're bad, that we're unlovable, and all of that. But if we were to take the ego thought system out of our awareness, we would no longer be thinking that way at all. Get it? So it's understandable in this age of computers that, for instance, I have accounting software that I'm not very happy with, but I have accounting software that I use to do the finances for the Power of Love Ministry. It malfunctions all the time. Anyway, minor annoyances there. But I can't do those functions of creating those financial reports and the bookkeeping, etc., without that software. I'd be doing it by hand without that software, or I'd have a different software. So similarly, with the ego thought system, I couldn't experience separation without running that software in my mind, without believing those thoughts in my mind. I would not have any ability to experience lack and limitation without the ego thought system, because there is no lack or limitation. But if I believe it, I will experience it. And so the ego thought system enables me to experience feeling not good enough. It allows me to experience pain and suffering, all of these things that would be impossible without the ego thought system. So rather than think I'm bad, it's the ego thought system is tricking me into believing that. Because no matter what we've done or what's been done to us, in the infinite mind of God, there can be no thought that we are bad or wrong or any of that without the ego thought system. And just because we think it doesn't make it true, it just makes it seem true because we believe it. That's so vital to understanding the teachings of A Course in Miracles, which I absolutely know to be truth. And they have helped me to escape, along with the Science of Mind teachings and a little bit of Buddhism and some Native American teachings, have helped me to escape that identification with the body and the ego thought system. So it's a very clever setup, and of course it is. Where did the ego thought system come from? Where everything else comes from. Same place. So you know it's very clever. So today, let's look at section 7 of chapter 3, which is entitled Creating Versus the Self-Image. Chapter 3, section 7. Every system of thought must have a starting point. It begins with either a making or a creating, a difference we've already discussed. In the cause and effect section in chapter 2, that's where Jesus talks about making versus creating. And we create with the mind of God, and we make with the ego thought system. We make things. So the difference is that which is created is really born of that infinite love and that perfection, that beauty, and is made with those spiritual qualities versus what's made by the ego thought system when we're running that software in our mind. And in here, he goes on to say the difference between what's made and what's created lies in what rests upon them. Both are cornerstones for systems of belief by which one lives. So the difference between making and creating lies in what rests upon them. So either the ego thought system or the thinking of God, the thoughts we think with God. It is a mistake to believe that a thought system based on lies is weak. So the ego thought system is not weak. Nothing made by a child of God is without power. So the ego thought system made by a child of God, therefore, it has power. Let's see what that means. It is essential to realize this because otherwise you will be unable to escape from the prison you made. You cannot resolve the authority problem by depreciating the power of your mind. So, one of the mind-wandering thoughts we have is, it doesn't matter if I hold these mean thoughts in my mind. I'm just thinking them. I'm not actually making anything or creating anything with them. Nothing is going to come of me holding these thoughts and beliefs in lack and limitation, in attack, in condemnation. So the mean antagonistic thoughts that we hold or like, I'm looking at my son, he's a drug addict, and the thought, he's never going to make anything of himself, he's ruining his life. Those thoughts don't have any power. That is the temptation of the ego. And what Jesus is telling us here, you cannot resolve the authority problem by depreciating the power of your mind. So what is the authority problem? The authority problem is a problem that we have when we've made the ego the authority in our life instead of Holy Spirit, infinite wisdom, divine intelligence, God, Spirit, whatever we'd like to call it. You cannot resolve the authority problem by depreciating the power of your mind. So, in other words, you're not helping yourself by depreciating the power of your mind. You're deluding yourself, in fact, because your mind is the mind of God. So, of course, there is power. It's the only power there is. Now, it's deluded when we're deluded. It's funny. It's diluted when we're deluded. So the power is diluted, it's weakened, it's not full strength when we're delusional because we're focused on negativity. And positivity, thoughts of love, are so much more powerful than thoughts of attack, lack, limitation, etc. Very important to understand that. Because we think, oh, I've fallen so low, I can't get there from here. Nonsense. Don't ever give up. Don't ever think those thoughts. Do not give them the power of your mind. Do not entertain negativity. Do not draw the line in the sand. Do not allow yourself. Change the channel every time. Whistle a happy tune. Whatever you need to do, do not ruminate on what you do not like and do not want. Only ruminate on the things that you would like more of, more peace, more love, more joy. No more mind wandering. So you cannot resolve the authority problem by depreciating the power of your mind. To do so is to deceive yourself, and this will hurt you because you really understand the strength of the mind. You also realize that you cannot weaken it any more than you can weaken God. Now, what this makes me think of is when I was in my 20s and I would have these just constant negative thoughts, or I might be having an argument or an upset with someone, and I'd be ruminating on it, and in those moments, I would get clear insight, intuition from spirit. Don't entertain these thoughts. Go the other way. And I was like, no, I'm going to do whatever I want. Meh, 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 meh. Was kind of my attitude. And so I didn't realize that I was hurting myself so much. And yet, I have to admit, I had an awareness that I was being warned. I had an awareness that I was being given advice, clear direction, the still small voice. I could still hear it. I didn't want to hear it, but I could hear it. And so that just increased my sense of I'm a bad person. I know better, but I don't do better. So it increased my guilt, my shame, and my sense of unworthiness. I just didn't want to listen. I really didn't. So to deceive yourself, to do so is to deceive yourself. To depreciate the power of the mind is to deceive yourself. And this will hurt you because you really understand the strength of the mind. You also realize that you cannot weaken it any more than you can weaken God. The devil is a frightening concept because he seems to be extremely powerful and extremely active. He is perceived as a force in combat with God, battling God for possession of his creations. The devil deceives by lies and builds kingdoms in which everything is in direct opposition to God. Yet he attracts men rather than repels them, and they are willing to sell him their souls in return for gifts of no worth. This makes absolutely no sense. Now, we see people in the world who seem to act like the devil, right? Deceiving and building kingdoms in which everything is in direct opposition to God, and attracting people who seem to sell their souls for prestige, for power, for things like that, gifts of no real worth. It's interesting. We live in a world where the ego thought system convinces us that money could make us happy, that stuff can make us happy, that wealth can make us happy. And yet, we know already that it cannot. Yet we somehow think, well, maybe this time it will work. So the devil is a frightening concept. So the devil is a concept because he's frightening because he seems to be extremely powerful and extremely active. He is perceived as a force in combat with God, battling God for possession of his creation. So the devil deceives by lies and builds kingdoms in which everything is in direct opposition to God. Yet he attracts men rather than repels them, and they are willing to sell him their souls in return for gifts of no real worth. This makes absolutely no sense at all. Goes on, we have discussed the fall or separation before, but its meaning must be clearly understood. The separation is a system of thought real enough in time, though not in eternity. So the ego is a temporary thought system. All beliefs are real to the believer. The fruit of only one tree was forbidden in the symbolic garden, but God could not have forbidden it or it could not have been eaten. So we think of the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and the snake, the devil, tempting Eve to eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge, and that God had explicitly said, do whatever you want, but don't eat from that tree. So here is Jesus saying to us, God could not have forbidden it, or it could not have been eaten. So they wouldn't have had the ability to eat it if God had forbidden it, right? So this is this old idea that there is really a devil that's tempting us, and that there is really a force for evil in opposition to God. One of the clearest messages of A Course in Miracles is there's nothing in opposition to God. There's nothing in addition to God. There's nothing working against God ever, ever, ever. God is all there is. So, seems like we could be done with the devil, right? And the whole, the devil made me do it. But there are factions in the world that really, 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 really like the idea of a devil. And they like the idea of things like they're possessed by the devil, or they're witches, right? And that they're evil, that people are evil, versus people are identified with evil and act accordingly, because they've forgotten who and what and whose they really are. So this is one of the clear points here. The fruit of only one tree was forbidden in the symbolic garden, but God could not have forbidden it. So who did? Who did? If God knows his children, and I assure you that he does, would he have put them in a position where their own destruction was possible? No. The answer is no. The forbidden tree was named the tree of knowledge. Yet God created knowledge and gave it freely to his creations. The symbolism here has been given many interpretations, but you may be sure that any interpretation that sees either God or his creations as capable of destroying their own purpose is in error. Yeah. So this makes me think of this fundamental truth that our perfection remains intact. Our wholeness remains intact. Our magnificence is unassailable. No matter what we do, no matter what we believe, the Christ is still within. And I rely upon that. It's also the same as our innocence is still there. Our wholeness is still there. One of the things that we look at in my year-long Masterful Living program is the teaching of Ho'oponopono, because we do so much work with forgiveness. Forgiveness offers everything I want, everything I need. It is the way to recover our right mind and to live from the right mind. We have to do the forgiveness. Now, some people can perhaps let things go without a process and increase their willingness to a maximum without a process. But I couldn't do that, and many others are not able to do that right now. So we use forgiveness to bring us to that willingness to let go of the judgments, the complaints, the blame, the shame, etc. So we are not capable of destroying our own purpose. We are not capable of that. It goes on here to say, eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge is a symbolic expression for usurping the ability for self-creating. This is the only sense in which God and his creations are not co-creators. So we cannot make ourselves, we cannot create ourselves. So, because that God has created us. And God is not separate from us. But in our individual expression of God, we cannot create ourselves. But we can make a false identity and become identified with that, which is indeed what we have done. So, eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge is a symbolic expression for usurping the ability of the self-creating. So we're not able to usurp the ability of God. Our power comes from God because we're a part of God. So we can't usurp the power of God. We're born of the power of God. It's coming to the time for me to take a break. There's the music. And I just want to let you know, we do free forgiveness workshops on a regular basis. If you go to powerofloveministry.net, powerofloveministry.net, you can sign up for the next one, which is Sunday, March 24th. Come and join us.
Thank you for tuning in for A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk.
Welcome back. And just as I was going to the break, I was saying that we do free forgiveness workshops once or twice a month. And the next one is March 24th, Sunday, March 24th. We also do our free Sundays with Spirit program every Sunday. You're welcome to join us. With these free things, you just need to sign up so we can send you the Zoom info. We don't post the Zoom info online. We send it to you in an email because of safety protocols and privacy and stuff. And what else we have coming up? Karen J. Gardner's class, the deep dive into A Course in Miracles and Where's Your Real Home. That's a 6-hour workshop with just a beautiful teacher of A Course in Miracles, Karen J. Gardner, one of my sweet, dear friends. And that has been postponed till May 4th because she's had laryngitis. As sometimes happens, I know Cindy Laura had a bad bout for months of laryngitis. I think, you know, something's going on with spirit and that retooling of the throat chakra. That's my own personal impression. And what else is going on? Oh, one of my favorite things, my End My Self-Sabotage Challenge. So if you know you sabotage yourself like I used to do, if you have issues with self-medication of any kind, then you might be interested in this program. It's very inexpensive. It's 6 weeks long, one session a week. And there's two sessions a week. And one way to really just move into the new season. We've got the equinox coming right here in a day or so. And it's just a great opportunity to clear the decks and take out the trash. So if it calls to you, look for it at thepowerofloveministry.net. You can see what else is coming up in May. 2 in-person events in Scottsdale, Arizona. There's my counseling training intensive, which is open to all. And there is the How to Create and Lead workshops that make a difference. And also, you can look for the details. I am going to be doing a Q&A call for any free Q&A call for anyone who's interested in the Quantum Counseling Training Intensive. So there's that. And also, anyone who wants to join the Quantum Counseling, we just did a class with Gary Renard. We've got all these other teachers coming up. It's turning out to be just a great, great program. I'm so glad Spirit invited me to do it. All right. There's always more going on. PowerofLoveMinistry.net. Check it out. So we are here talking about the devil and the fruit of the tree of knowledge. So eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, we're paragraph 4 here now, is a symbolic expression for usurping the ability of self-creating. This is the only sense in which God and his creations are not co-creators. The belief that they are is implicit in the self-concept, or the tendency of the self to make an image of itself. Images are perceived, not known. Images are perceived, not known. So our identity as a human person is an image. We could call it a graven image, maybe. Images are perceived, not known, because they aren't real. Knowledge cannot deceive, but perception can. So knowledge, which is also going to be fairly synonymous with truth, cannot deceive, but perception can. Truth sets us free. Knowledge sets us free. Perception keeps the story going. You can perceive yourself as self-creating, but you cannot do more than believe it. You cannot make it true. So if you believe you're unworthy, that's because you're thinking of a self that you think you made, but you don't have the power to make yourself. You could extrapolate this. You are not who you think you are. If you believe you're unworthy, you are mistaken. All are worthy. And it is unaffected by anything that we've done or anything that's happened to us. Our worthiness is unaffected by the things of this world. It's important to tell ourselves this and to remind ourselves of this. We did not make ourselves. We have only made an image, a false identity. It's not real. What is real is perfect. Going back to the text here. So you cannot do more than believe it. You cannot make it true. And as I said before, when you finally perceive correctly, you can only be glad that you cannot make it true. Until then, however, the belief that you can is the foundation stone in your thought system. And all your defenses are used to attack ideas that might bring it to light. Okay, so our defenses are used to attack ideas that might bring it to the light. Bring what to the light? The recognition that we did not make ourselves. Therefore, the sense of unworthiness and all of these false beliefs that we have about ourselves aren't true. They are simply an image that we're holding up about ourselves that we believe is true, but that does not make it true. And our defenses are used to attack the ideas that might bring it to light. So the idea, I am perfect. Our defenses attack that thought. If you say, I am perfect, I am perfect, I am perfect, your defenses are going to come up to attack that thought. Well, that's ridiculous. I'm so far from perfect. Look at my weight. Look at how I just got fired from my job. Look at my spouse just left me. I'm so far from perfect. I just was yelling at my child. I'm so far from perfect. So all your defenses are used to attack ideas that might bring the truth to light. You still believe you are an image of your own making. Your mind is split with the Holy Spirit on this point, and there is no resolution why you believe the one thing that is literally inconceivable. So again, that one thing that is literally inconceivable is the idea that we could make ourselves and that we are less than perfect because we made ourselves. He says, that is why you cannot create and are filled with fear about what you make. There it is, right there. So we'd like to create miracle after miracle after miracle, but we still believe that we're unworthy. We still believe that we're not good enough, that there's something wrong with us, that we're bad, that we're guilty, that we should be punished. And that's why we are unable to create. Goes on, paragraph 5. The mind can make the belief in separation very real and very fearful, and this belief is the devil. The belief in separation is the devil. It is powerful, active, destructive, and clearly in opposition to God because it literally denies God's fatherhood. Look at your life and see what the devil has made, but realize that this making will surely dissolve in the light of truth because its foundation is a lie. Your creation by God is the only foundation that cannot be shaken because the light is in it. Your starting point is truth, and you must return to your beginning. I talk about going back to the default settings, perfection, Christ, wholeness, beauty, magnificence, wisdom, clarity, knowledge, all of this. These are the default settings. And any time that we think we're less than all of that, at all times, is a misperception. It's a false belief. And we just have to be willing to disconnect from it. Stop believing it. Stop investing in it. Your starting point is truth, and you must return to your beginning. What does the truth do? It sets us free of illusions. That's why the starting point is truth. That's where we began, and we need to return to our beginning. Much has been seen since then, but nothing has really happened. So again, we've seen a lot of stuff. We've imagined a lot of stuff. We've experienced a lot of stuff, but none of it is real. I really think the video game analogy that I've been using for a long time is helpful here. It's what you do when you're playing a video game. It's not real. It doesn't go on your permanent record. And that's what we can remember. Yourself is still in peace, even though your mind is in conflict. You have not yet gone back far enough, and that is why you become so fearful. As you approach the beginning, you feel the fear of the destruction of your thought system upon you, as if it were the fear of death. There is no death, but there is a belief in death. So this is the thing is, we've worked so hard to make this image of ourselves as unworthy, not good enough, or better than others, or worse than others, or whatever it might be, and it's all conflicted, and it's all nutty, and none of it really makes any sense. except to us in our distorted perspective. So the thought that we might die, that's so scary, it's really the creation that we've made. Again, this is why I think it can help us to look at Frankenstein's monster, right? He loves his creation so much, even though his creation is ugly and destructive, right? There's also an innocence to it if we really look at the depth of the story. For me, one of the things that I've learned to rejoice about is that the story I've made up about myself and about the world, about God, it's not a real truth. It's not a true story. And the same is true for the belief in death. All beliefs are false. Next paragraph. The branch that bears no fruit will be cut off and will wither away. Be glad. The light will shine from the true foundation of life, and your own thought system will stand corrected. So this, to me, is akin to what's in the development of trust section in the Manual for Teachers, Chapter 4, about trust. So the branch that bears no fruit will be cut off and will wither away. Be glad. So that which is not helpful to us and is a distraction to us, because we can choose to be distracted, right? Don't we do it all the time? I do. At times, I'm like, okay, I think I'm just going to do this puzzle for a little while and work my mind that way with no emotions attached, just working with the puzzle. Or, oh, I'm going to watch a little TV now. Oh, I'm going to talk with a friend now. We find all kinds of ways to distract ourselves, and some of them are very helpful. We change the channel, we change the tune. We put our attention on something helpful. So somebody can be upset and bothered. They take their dog for a walk and they come back refreshed and renewed, interested in moving on. So taking a time out, not a bad thing. But the branch that bears no fruit will be cut off and will wither away. So another way we could look at this too is when Jesus said, to them that have, even more shall be given, and to them that have not, even what they have shall be taken away. So if we're hurting or harming ourselves by being distracted with the branch that bears no fruit, while it seems like a loss, it's actually a gain when it's taken away from us. The light will shine from the true foundation of life. And here, foundation is with a capital F, so you know that's a reference to God. The light will shine from the true foundation of life, and your own thought system will stand corrected. It cannot stand otherwise. You who fear salvation are choosing death. Life and death, light and darkness, knowledge and perception are irreconcilable. To believe that they can be reconciled is to believe that God and His Son cannot be reconciled. Only the oneness of knowledge is free of conflict. Your kingdom is not of this world, because it was given you from beyond this world. Only in this world is the idea of an authority problem meaningful. The world is not left by death, but by truth. And truth can be known by all. The truth can be known by all those for whom the kingdom was created and for whom it waits. So seek first the kingdom within, and all else should be added unto us. So I am willing to know the kingdom within. I am willing to recognize the kingdom within. I am willing to give up all attachments to this creature that I've made, this image that I've made of myself, and I am willing to recognize my true self, my higher Holy Spirit self. You know, one of the things for me in my life, I'm 64 now, and so I started in classes at Agape in my late 30s, but I started the spiritual journey in my 20s, going to things with Shakti Gawain and reading spiritual books, and I was reading the Kabbalion and, so many John Bradshaw and Eric Butterworth and so many different spiritual books. And then what I remember is when I turned 40, I had this great sense of relief. And I was in the practitioner training at Agape at that time. And what I can tell you is that it was during that time that I really began to start to connect with my own holiness more and more, and to give up my attachments to the false identification. Still very attached, still not seeing clearly. But the more I gave up, the more free I felt. I felt so much freer when I turned 40. And then when I turned 50, oh my God, it was so great. And it was just paralleled those age changes, paralleled my growth and expansion of my awareness to see and know and feel and value the truth. And so now I'm also experiencing that sense of the fullness of my God identity and moving in that direction. All the time I feel more free, more peaceful, more harmonious, more prosperous, regardless of what's happening in the world. Where I used to worry, I don't worry. There's nothing to worry about anymore. Nothing. I have things I'm concerned about, things I'm paying attention to. Of course, I'm running an organization, a nonprofit that employs a bunch of people. And so I am always paying attention to many, 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 many things. And I'm concerned about them, but without worry, without fear. I am in trust and faith. And so that's the progress that I've made. The more I give up this idea that I have to make myself whole or make myself worthwhile or even to heal myself, all that I give to God. No, I am here to be truly helpful, which means I am here to love and be loved. That is the bottom line. And everything else is a part of that. So I'm going to go back to paragraph 5 here just to have real clarity as we're going to wrap up in a little bit here. The mind can make the belief in separation very real and very fearful. And this belief is the devil. It is powerful, active, destructive, and clearly in opposition to God because it literally denies his fatherhood. Look at your life and see what the devil has made, but realize that this making will surely dissolve in the light of truth because its foundation is a lie. Your creation by God is the only foundation that cannot be shaken because the light is in it. Your starting point is truth, and you must return to your beginning. Much has been seen since then, but nothing has really happened. Your self, capital S, is still in peace, even though your mind is in conflict. You have not yet gone back far enough, and that is why you become so fearful. As you approach the beginning, you feel the fear of the destruction of your thought system upon you as if it were the fear of death. There is no death. but there is a belief in death. So part of why we get so scared is we believe that we are this image that we have made. And we have forgotten and lost touch with the truth of who and what we are. For me, I am perfect. That affirmation that I've talked about many times is a helpful reminder, a wake-up call. That's the thing about the truth. The truth can snap us out of the delusion. So let us focus on the truth. And we know when we're not focused on the truth by how we feel. That's what Jesus tells us in the Course. We know by how we feel whether we're in alignment with truth or not. I find that so helpful. If I'm upset, I am believing something that's false. And I don't have to. It's a misperception. And it's of my own making. Drop it like it's hot. Invite the Holy Spirit into my awareness. And let me declare to the whole universe, I am interested in the truth. I am willing to give up the false. But sometimes we really like the false just because we made it. We have attachments to the things that we made. And I've learned, let them go, let them go, let them go. Let the love flow. Let's place our hands on our heart and give thanks once again for the love of God that shines as our true identity. We share the benefits of our healing with everyone. Let it be. Amen, amen, amen.